Okay, so we're starting Perek Ches Ois Yud Zayin, and from here, from Ois Yud Zayin until the end of the Sefer, is obviously discussing the last piece of Rambam that we did, which was the Rambam's discussion on Yediyah and Bechira, the seeming contradiction between them, and why, you know, why the Yediyah cannot be used as a way of being deicha, pushing away and rejecting the idea of free choice. So these pieces are all going to be related to that sugya, which obviously is a very deep sugya. So let's just start. Ois Yud Zayin. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, and I'll just preface that this piece is a pretty it's a pretty up there piece, in the sense that it's a deep piece. You know, I mean, every piece, I guess, in the Sefer is deep, but this is, we'll see. It's he's really touching on a very fundamental point in Kabbalah, at least the second half of the parak. So let's begin. Even the first point is a very deep point. You'll see. Hasaga shemesigim. He says the hasaga that we are masig. Now, quite frankly, I've always had this problem. I don't think there's really a way of translating into English the word hasaga. Okay, I don't know. Maybe there is. If somebody has an idea, as you know, you can get close to it, maybe. But there are some words. You know, everybody knows when I don't speak Yiddish, but. You know, everybody knows that every language, people say it about Yiddish. There's certain things you just can't really translate. There's a certain life to a language that you can't give over its pinimius in a certain sense. You can translate something maybe in a more external way. So I think that one of those lashonos is hasaga. So hasaga can be literally translated as an understanding. Right, a conceptualization of something, attainment, right? Sometimes to be masig something means to attainment. So I guess I would translate it maybe in a, translate it, but describe it, that it's attaining an awareness, a spiritual awareness of something. That's what I would say. That's how I would translate hasaga, I think, is so that it's an understanding, but it's much deeper than an understanding. It's where you're actually coming to something on a deeper level. Your neshama, your nefesh, your whole essence is connecting to something, is grasping something on a deeper level, something past language, including language, but past language. And we'll see that's actually going to be part of the issue here.
I like to think of it, in order to show that it's beyond comprehension, there's a calling on apprehension.
Again?
Instead of an apprehension, as opposed to comprehension, which is a cognitive thing, this is an apprehension that's much broader than the cognitive.
An apprehension. Okay, very good. So, yeah, right, an apprehension. Okay, very good. Yeah, so that's exactly what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is going to be discussing here. It's the hasaga we're going to see, the hasaga that attainment of some kind of level of understanding, something where you're not fully understanding. So that's sort of like you say, apprehension. Okay, so hasaga shemesigim sheyesh ma she'ef shel hasig. That hasaga that we get, that understanding, let's just take it on a simple translation of understanding. The understanding that a person attains, that it's impossible to understand, right? When you get to that point, that understanding, that there's something you can't understand it. It's not that, it's not even a lack in you, it's part of being a human being. He be'emes hasaga gedoyla. That's truthfully a very big hasaga. That's a very big understanding. That's a very big attainment. Uvechein, and therefore, gam inyan shel yediyah ubechira, ech matimim yachad, shelo tiyah yediyosei nosefes menachutz, vegam lo ta'akev, es chofesh habechira, im ma'aminim shishneim tzodku yachtov. So too, the sugya, the inyan of Hashem's knowledge and man's free choice, how they can join together, how they can be true side by side, where God's knowledge is not additional. It's not something outside of him, like human knowledge, which is really outside of the person's essence. But by Hashem, the Rambam already told us, right, that his yediyah is not additional. V'gam lo te'akev. And yet at the same time, it will not hinder, as choyfesh habechira, will not prevent the freedom of choice of man. If you believe that these two things go together, right? Believing, if you believe, right, that they go together, even though from our perspective, from man's perspective, we have no understanding of how they can both be true. Harezu hasaga amitis. That already, he says, is a true hasaga. It's not, that's not ending off in a question. The fact that you come to the realization that these two things are true, to an emuna and a realization, that these two things are true, yet you can't understand, the human mind can't wrap itself around how that can be, how can't possibly understand how these two things can actually work together. That itself is a true hasaga. Velo, actually, it kind of reminds me, I've mentioned this in the past. If we can borrow from the outside of, I mentioned in the past, Zen Buddhism, right? That they have this mahalach where they reach, what's the word that they use for this? Enlightenment, I think. They reach a certain enlightenment by pondering paradoxes. They have whole lists and lists of very big paradoxes, and what they do is they meditate on a paradox for an extended period of time. It could be a month, it could be longer than a month, and just from the meditation over the paradox, they come to some kind of understanding, or hasaga, if you'd like. They come to some kind of understanding that's not necessarily verbal. The meditation itself brings them to a certain state where that paradox kind of finds itself comfortable in their soul, and they reach something which I guess can't really be explained to the other until you actually experience that epiphany of whatever it is that they've pondered. So in a certain sense, I think that's a little bit the hasaga that Rabbi Yaakov Meir is talking about, is that there's this yediyah umbechira, which is, I would say, the, with a capital T, paradox of our world, is just realizing the truth of the two sides working together, even though you, and realizing that they're paradoxical, and yet you can't integrate those paradoxes in an intellectual way. That itself is a tremendous and true hasaga. That's where you're supposed to get. That's the objective, is to reach that and appreciate that. Okay, so says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, v'loy oid. Yes. We're gonna probably in the next piece we might get to that a little bit, because he discusses the Maral, which is on the, discusses the Ralbag. So we'll get there. As I said, we have four pieces here on the sugya, so we'll be getting different angles of it. Bez Hashem. Okay, the loy says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. Not only that. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, more than that, not just is it a hasaga, is it a true hasaga to come to that understanding that these two things work together, even though the human being can't understand how. More than that, any hasaga that a person reaches in entirety, in a full way, that cannot be considered a godly hasaga. That cannot be considered a godly hasaga. Why? Ki hamivureret hi nifredet. Because something that is clarified is separated. Ubilti nivreret me'omek hamusag hi hasaga elokit. And the thing that's not clear due to the profundity of the musag, of the concept, is a hasaga elokit, is a godly hasaga. Meaning, when you clarify something, okay, like we use that expression, you know, it's a, you wrap your brain around something, that means you've cut that piece of understanding off of, you've given it borders, right? Anything that you have a clear understanding of means you've cut it off, you've defined it. Defining something is cutting it off from other information and giving it a specified context with specific borders. And that's why it's so clear to you. That's why it's clear. Because you've managed to define it. That's a definition is to, you know, separate something from, right? What happens when a person is mixed up, right? He doesn't have something clear. It's tied to too many things. He hasn't been able to get a grip on it. He hasn't been able to single it out from the mess of knowledge maybe that's banging around his head. So if you've gotten clarity on something, it means that you've zeroed in on something. You've zeroed in on it, you've cut it off, you've bordered it, and right from all the other knowledge that's in your head. And that therefore means that's not a godly hasaga. Because to be masig something godly, to understand something godly, means to tap in on some level to something which is infinite, which means it's boundless. It's not cut off. It's not separated. So if you've separated it, it's already not a godly hasaga. V'chein ha-Torah, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. And so to the Torah, l'fisha aruka me'eretz mida v'rechava min hayam, being that the Torah is longer than the land and the world, right? And its expanse is more than the sea, more than the ocean. V'ein keitz li'yediata hi Torah elokit. Right? And being that it has no limit to its knowledge, so that's why the Torah is a godly Torah. In other words, this is a beautiful thing what he's saying, right? He's saying that the Torah in essence is godly, and that is why the Torah is referred to as Arucha Me'eretz Midah V'Rechava Min Hayam V'Ein Ketz Li'Yediasa. That's why there's no finishing everything in Torah. You can't get to the end. There's infinite layers and layers and more layers of understanding.
Rosh Hashanah describes it as a text on a text.
A text on...
You have the Chumash, you have the Mishnah and the Chumash, and you have the Gemara on that, and you have Rashi Tosfot, the Rishonim on that. Yeah.
Right.
It's like...
And now...
innumerable.
Right. And now in our generation, we're already Zaycha, you know, like... Every sif in Shulchan Aruch already can have a full sefer, you know, with hundreds of pages. You know, it's unbelievable, and it goes on and on, and it's all stemming from those original texts. It all goes back to it, and you can follow it up. You follow how it develops. It's really fascinating. Okay, so by the way, since we already mentioned it, it's come up now. You know, the whole idea of Rishonim versus Achronim, okay? So we see as time goes on, like we're saying, basically everything that's written in the Achronim is really an expansion of what's written in the Rishonim, right? It's building on the words of the Rishonim, and if it's not, we basically chuck it out the door. We're not interested. We want, right? We see the Rishonim as the interpreters of Torah Shebaal Peh, and an Achron can't make up, so to say, his own. In general, that's right. That's the way we relate to it. And yet, we find that the Rishonim's writing is much shorter. And even if you take the entirety of the Rishonim, it's a lot. But it's certainly not all that we have that's written since, which is all the Achronim, the tremendous expanse of writings in Achronim. And yet, as I said, all the tremendous, literally, it goes on forever. All the writings of the Achronim are built and found in the Rishonim. It all goes back into the Rishonim. And then, of course, the Rishonim back into the Amoraim and the Tanoim, which goes back to the Nevi'im and the Psukim of Tanakh. The idea is, though, we have to appreciate, and this is really phenomenal when you think about it, it's not pshat. We know that the Rishonim didn't know what we know. No, adirabba. They knew it, but it was so clear. They had such a saga. What's that?
A saga.
Yeah, they had such a saga. Very good. They had such a clear understanding of the Torah that it included within it everything that's been written after. You know, like Rashi has hundreds and hundreds of Sfarim that are explaining Rashi, and any of them that are right in their Perushim on Rashi, you know, explaining Rashi, that was what he intended. That was all included in his words. I give an example sometimes, you know, I know for giving Shiurim, there's sometimes where you have something in your head, very often actually, in your head, something can be, I've said this in the past, right, it will take a minute maybe to review an entire thing in your head. But when you're going to give it over in Shiur, it's going to take an hour. There's a famous story with the Arizal. He slept, and Reb Chaim Vital says, I don't remember the number, I've quoted this in the past also, he woke up and said, you know, it would take him like 70 years, I think, or even longer, I don't remember the number, if he would repeat all the thousands upon thousands of chidushim that he had in that dream. Because when a person dreams, he's not bound by the physical world, and therefore his capability of hasaga, right, of attaining something, is way past language. But when you try to translate it and you try to bring it down into the limited world and express it, then already it takes much longer, and it can go on and on and on. Now, that is really the vart with Rishonim, and then of course the early generations till the Psukim, is that it's all included in there in a very, very concise way. As a matter of fact, I think I've quoted this in the past, the Shlach HaKadosh says that it had it not been, and this is just to give you an idea of how we've fallen because of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas and then the Chet of the Egel. The Shlach HaKadosh says that had it not been for the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and then, of course, of the Egel, because it's really repeat of the Chet Egel, where Chazal say that when they stood at Har Sinai, Paska Zuama, even before the Torah was given, by the way, when they just stood at Har Sinai, that's why in the Dayenu we say, Ilu Kervanu Lifnei Har Sinai, V'leinas Lanu Esa Torah, Dayenu. It's a big Pele, right? If you just brought us close to our Sinai and you didn't give us the Torah, that would have been wonderful. It would have been more than enough. What value does coming close to our Sinai have if it's not for the Torah? The answer is, I wrote about this many years ago, I don't remember, 15 years ago something, and I answered this question in the Moriah put out by Mechon Yerushalayim, that it's mevur in the Zohar, and it's mevur in different Sfarim, is that the Zuama stopped when they stood. That's Lasha. They stood at Har Sinai. That's when the Zuama, the spiritual filth of sin, stopped from them. And they went back to the level of Adam Rishon before the sin, before the Chet. So that's a tremendous level, of course. That's before they got the Torah. Before they got the Torah. Now they were Roy. Now they were appropriate to receive the Torah. So, says the Shlach HaKadosh, had the Torah been given in a situation where where there was no chet of Adam HaRishon, okay? Because even when we went back, it seems that we didn't go back to the full extent of the what was before Adam HaRishon. We got close to it. But had the world been like it was before Adam HaRishon's chet, there would be no Torah Shebal Peh. And you know why? Because he says, I've understood everything from Torah Shebiksav. Wow. That's unbelievable. Everything that's written, all that's from we've ever learned, you know, all Gemaras, everything, we just read the Psukim and see it all there in a clear way. The only reason we don't see it is because of the Zuama, of the spiritual filth that blinds us from seeing the tremendous awe that's there in the Torah Shebiksav. And what Chazal do for us is, they are megala to us, they reveal that light, because they were on a tremendous level that were able to be megala that light. And then Vayter, the Rishonim, do that, you know, because again, there's like a certain tzimtzum that took place where the world fell again, and then the Rishonim act as our guiding lights and open things up for more for us, and then the Achroinim, and that's a process that continues. And that we have to do our part for whatever level we're on, you know, but for the future generations, that Bez Hashem, and I, of course, we hope that Mashiach will come right away, and then already there's going to be such a light where everything's going to become very clear again, and we're going to be able to see how Torah Shebal Peh is completely inside of Torah Shebiksav, completely coming out of Torah Shebiksav. Okay. Just to make a mention, because this is a sugya which is unfortunately the modern world, including the secular world, has been pretty damaging on when it comes to how to relate to Torah Shebal Peh, how to relate to things of rabbinic nature, for example. And they'll say, and it's unfortunate that it's more than just creeped into the officially religious world, you know, and it's a terrible thing. As a matter of fact, you know, the in Kabbalah it says that the Torah, right, is all included in the Keser, the Sphira, the first Sphira, which is God's will, kiviyachal. Like that's how the Keser, as far as the ten spheres goes, is the Keser, is the crown. That's the will of God that decided that let's get things rolling, let's make a gilui, let's make a revelation. And the Torah is all rooted in that Keser. That is really the Ratzon of Hashem. The Torah is the Ratzon of Hashem. So when we learn Torah, we are connecting to the Ratzon of Hashem, the deepest point of that we can relate to, that he reveals. And therefore, there are Taryag mitzvahs. There are 613 mitzvahs, and more than the 613 mitzvahs, there's also 7 mitzvahs derabbanan. As we know from the Meine HaMitzvahs, from the counters of the mitzvahs, there are 7 mitzvahs midirabbanan. 613 mitzvahs deraisa, 7 mitzvahs derabbanan. What does that give you? 620 mitzvahs. And those 620 mitzvahs are keneged the gematria, the numerical value of keser. Keser, the crown, that is 620, which is keneged the 613 mitzvahs d'oraisa and the 7 mitzvahs d'rabbanan. But what's amazing is, says Rabbi Yitzchak Eisenhower in the beginning of his Ha'oris on the Sefer Mayim Adirim, which was written a bir on the Idra Zuta, a very deep part of the Zohar, where this real Ikr Seydis HaTorah all coming out from the Idra Zuta, Idra Rabba, and the Idra Zuta, and the Sefer Ditzniusa. So his Rebbe, Reb Menachem Mendel Mishkolov, who was one of the Talmidim Muvhakim of the Gra, he's also the one that authored the bir on Mishlei, and so he wrote a bir on Idra Zuta. And Rabbi Yisrael Eisenhower has Ha'oris on the Sefer. And right at the beginning he says, on Keser, he says, phenomenal thing. We know the Taryag mitzvahs find their representation in the Taryag Evarim and Gidim in the human body. Right? The 248 limbs and the 365 Gidim, loosely, very loosely translated as sinews, that are in the human body. So what are the 7? What are the seven mitzvahs derabbanan? So he says, and this, I can't get into the details of it, but he says that they come from higher than the koymas ha'adam. Al pi kabbalah, everything is revealed. When Hashem revealed Himself, He revealed Himself in a manner of what's called the Adam, if you want to call it the Adam Kadmon, it's in the form of a person, right? That's why by the beginning of Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem says, you know, let's create man in our image, B'tzalmeinu, Kidmoseinu, in our image, because He Himself revealed Himself in that form. And so he says, somebody has to mute themselves. We'll see. So, please, Daniel? Oh, I think he, okay, he did more than mute. He went down for a minute. All right, so we say like this. He said, oh, wow. Well, meeting will end in 10 minutes. Okay, we're only touching the first lines here, I see. So he says like this. The seven mitzvahs of Rabbanan come from higher than the 613. They come from what's called the Radla, the Reshed La Yisyada, which is the deepest Kabbalistic construct that there is. It's coming from higher than the whole system. It's coming from what's called the head that's unknowable, the unknowable head, so to say, which is the Iker of the Keser. That's the Iker of the Keser. That's Alpi Kabbalah, and I know a little bit things are unclear maybe, but Alpi Kabbalah, the Keser is the Bechina of Radla, the Resha Dla Yisyada, the head that's unknowable, which is that's the nature of the Keser. It's also unknowable. So the Mitzvahs Rabbanan, he says, come from higher than the whole system. They're rooted in a place higher than the Taryag Mitzvahs de Araisa. You realize what that is? The Mitzvahs Derabbanan is coming from a deeper place than the Mitzvahs Araisa. And that's why they're Derabbanan. Because they couldn't, Kiyachil, Hashem didn't bring them down in a manifested well. He left it for us to become, for man to become elevated, connect to Him, to be able to understand what's past the words. What's past the words of the Torah? What's deeper than the words of the Torah? Those are the mitzvahs d'rabbanan. And anybody who's coming to be mekel and who's coming to try to give, you know, yes, we have klalim. That's certainly true. We have klalim that the mitzvah d'oraisa takes precedence over d'rabbanan, etc. But to do away with the whole concept of all rabbinic law, chas v'shalom, that's the deepest connection we have to the Rabbeinu Shalom, because that is where the Jewish people attach themselves and really manage to tap into the Ratzon of Hashem, which is beyond the language even of the Torah. Okay, so let's get back for at least another few minutes to Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says like this, V'soiver HaRambam, the Rambam holds, the Rambam says that this is what Chazal intended when they used this idea that they express in the end of Gemara Ksubis. You are attached to Hashem, your God. Is it possible to attach to Hashem? How could a finite being attach himself to the infinite? The Gemara adds, isn't he a fire that consumes everything? It really means to attach yourself to his midos, to his traits. The same way he is merciful, you should be merciful. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, biur shel asaf av alei esh eichlo. What is this addition of, isn't he a fire? A consuming fire? And if he wasn't a consuming fire, then it would be possible to attach. He's infinite, you're finite. What does that have to do with a fire? What are Chazal adding? Because we've already written. Anything that we feel a yearning in our soul to reach, that signifies to us, it's an indication to us, that our kayach is to attain that idea, to reach it. ubalayze, and without this, lahayse bekirbeinu chukalaze. If we have a yearning to something, it means we can get there. We can get there. And certainly, all the more so, if the yearning is so much giving us satiation, right? It's like we feel great from that yearning. So according to that, when it comes to relative, or when it comes to the investigating after Hashem, to know Hashem, so now already that, stirs within us a tremendous confusion. Mitzad echad, from one angle, ein lano davar shekol kachit en lano sevi benafshenu v'koyis ruach b'libenu kedrisha zu tredrishas Hashem. On the one hand, there's nothing that gives us such tremendous satiation in our souls and such good feeling in our hearts like that investigation of searching out Hashem. Or mitzad sheni, on the other hand, ein lano kol sig b'zeh. We have no shaychus to it. We can't understand Hashem really. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, well, guess what? We found an example of this. There's a parallel to this in the physical world, when it comes to the quality of fire. There's a natural yearning to understand the inner workings of fire, and yet we can't attach ourselves to fire because it burns and destroys anybody that gets close to it. Lachain, therefore, Kesheshoyel and Mechiev Shaladavabai, Chazal asked, is it possible to cleave Tashem? Haysifu Bamlitzas Kacham, they added with their beautiful, right, Mashal Valoy Eshaychlo, isn't he a consuming fire? Lamar intending, they're trying to tell you. Sha'afa Pishekol Kachadur Bikirbeinu Achukol is Dabik. Then even though we have this tremendous yearning to be Mizdabik in Hashem, Harezek Moesh, it's like fire. That all you can do by fire is to know its metzius, but not to touch it. So too is the basis, the foundation of the aim that our hishtay, of our drive is leida v'loy lizdabik, is just to know and not to literally attach. And then he says, You can attach yourself only to his midos, not to his essence, only to his midos. Vilha Rambam, and according to the Rambam, Perushoi, the perush has to be the bemidosav hainu bepu'ulas midosav. It has to mean only the actions of his midos. The ilu be'etzem midosav, because according to the Rambam, the essence of his midos you can't attach to. Keshem she'ein lanu musik batz musik, ein lanu musik gam bemidosav. Shehu midosav echad. The Rambam already taught us that he and his traits are one and the same. They're not outside of him. So therefore, if you can't attain him, you can't attach to him, you can't attach the essence of his midos either. But the actions of his midos, that you can. And that itself is what we can attain. I'm sorry. And this itself, what we chap, what we understand that we have no musug in himself and in his midos themselves. Hihi asaga. This itself is asaga. V'tisyashiv b'ze asaga saravid. And this answers up the Ravid's first taina over there. He makes two tainas. The famous one is the second one in Hilchas Tshuva. But the Ravid's first taina is on the Rambam. What do you open up a can of worms for? What are you getting yourself into hot water and asking a question of the stira between yediyah b'chira? Most people never even thought about it. Why you're starting something that you can't possibly finish? He says you didn't act like a minhag chachamim, which is you don't begin something that you can't finish. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's answer is no. That is a hasaga. What the Rambam told you is that you can't put this paradox together because you're only human. You're a human being. That itself is a hasaga. The Rambam didn't start something without finishing it. He told you a tremendous hasaga elokis. That's the answer to the Ravid. Meyerdik, an unbelievable answer he's saying. Any questions, Ha'aris? Everyone's speechless. All right. So then we'll end off with this over here, and Bez Hashem, we'll start the second part. The second part of this paragraph, this piece, is where he gets into the Kabbalah. the way to relate to it al pi kabbalah, because what he just did was according to the Rambam. But al pi kabbalah, there's a little bit of a different mahalach over here, which Bez Hashem will do next week. Okay, Shavuot. Yes.
Sorry, just to understand again, I didn't understand that point. You're saying that even if a person doesn't understand it, but just to hear the words, then that's already
You know what?
Let me try to unmute myself.
Okay. Say your question again, so I have it clear.
I didn't understand the point. We're saying that the Yedua alone without the Dvekus is a tachlis in itself, and the example is the shaila of the sphere between Yedua and Bechira, which the Rabbi said we're not going to understand it anyway. People are not going to be bothered by it.
So the answer is Rabbi Yaakov Moshe started this piece by saying that to understand something, to get to the understanding that you can't understand, that it's not in your ability to understand something, that itself is an understanding. That itself is a true hasaga. It's not just that you've been left, right? It's not that you've been left with a question. To get to the point that you understand that this is not humanly possible to wrap your head around, that itself is a true hasaga. And not only is it a true hasaga, but any godly hasaga has to be like that. Because any hasaga that you fully understand is already not godly. So therefore he's saying, that's exactly what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam is saying that Yediyah and Bechira are both true, and yet we can't understand it because we're not Hashem, basically. That's really what Hashem's, what the Rambam says, right? Lo yimachshavoyse machshavoyseichem. Our thoughts, Hashem says, my thoughts aren't like your thoughts. You're not going to be able to figure that one out. So that the Rambam is saying, that is the answer. That's not a question. That's already an answer. And therefore the Ravid's taina on the Rambam is incorrect, or is miyushev at least, let's say, right? Is that no, the Rambam is giving a mahalach. This is a mahalach. And by the way, this is true. Many are going, somebody mentioned the Ar Sameach, and we'll see that this is really true. The Rambam is, funny enough, it kind of comes out that the Ravid and the Rambam are giving the same mahalach. Just the Ravid understood from the Rambam that he was like leaving it off as a question, but like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying here, and others are going to say, is that no, he wasn't leaving it off as a question. He was giving that answer. The answer is that it's humanly impossible to understand because we're within a physical dimension of limitation. And that's okay. Well, Bez Hashem, we'll get back into this Ravid, I believe. The Rambam Ravid will speak more about it, but this is enough for the point that we discussed tonight. And
you say it's comparable to what the Rambam says about Shlila, that the derech of I think it's the Maran Yeruchim, that the derech of Chaga is dafka through Shlila.
Yes, very good, very good. Yes, the Rambam says this in Mor Nevuchim very, very strongly. That's true. Is that they have the fancy word for it? I can't remember now. In the Jewish philosophy English works, I can't remember the word for it now. But he writes that we all. What's that?
Negation.
Yeah, it is negate, but there's like a fuller another word that they put together with that. So the Rambam says that you're right, that we can only know Hashem in a negative way. Everything we understand, and the Maral says this is the pshat in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lashon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that HaKadosh means he's separated. That's the extent of our knowledge of Hashem, is that he's removed from all boundaries and all categorization that we are normally familiar with and that we use to understand things. So basically that's, you're right, that's the way of saying that the only thing we know about Hashem is that we don't know anything about him. And nevertheless, we do know what he commands us. We do know what he wants us to know, which is the Torah. Now, we do, even the Rambam, despite that yediyah, right, that the Rambam says that we can only know Hashem in a negative way, so to say, by negating all other possibilities, negating all limitation. Of course, the Rambam spends time to know Hashem. V'yadatas Hashem is a mitzvah. You should know Hashem. You should study Hashem. But again, basically, it's always going to boil down to, the Rambam says, in the fact that he's limitless, and the fact that he's not limited to anything that, you know, we're used to, or anything and anything. But that's where we're going to see it a little bit different when it comes to Kabbalah. And that's going to be, Bez Hashem, in the second part of this piece in Meimaroim, is that Kabbalah has a bit of a different approach to that. And, you know, it's based on the fact that Kabbalah already introduces a new construct, which the Rambam didn't have and didn't work with, which is called the Sefiros. And that's exactly the point of Kabbalah, is to introduce this construct that there's something more here than just Hashem and us, in the sense of Hashem's essence and us. Because, yes, according to the Rambam, it kind of, you know, it's almost a little bit depressing, I would say, in a certain sense, that, like, okay, that's the extent of our hasag of Hashem, that's the extent of attaching ourselves to Hashem, is what? Is knowing that we can't know Him, knowing that He's not bound by the paradoxes with which we find ourselves stuck on, so to say, and then just walking in His ways, so to say, to be merciful and have all the midas tovus. Of course, to our Torah's mitzvahs and etc., but that it kind of doesn't sound, when you use the pasuk v'yadatas Hashem as an example, it sounds like you're knowing something more than that. You know, like, well, it sounds like there's something else going on over here. I'm just saying it in a pashut way, and that's what Kabbalah does. Kabbalah shows a tremendous depth, that there's a whole system of revelation that Hashem reveals kiviyachal Himself to us, and that's what we'll have to discuss Bez Hashem in the next year. Okay, so a little bit of a preview to the next week. All right. Any more questions?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they compare sometimes that that we're limited to looking at the sun. Like, we don't have the ability to look at the sun.
Right.
We have that limit.
Right.
But on the other side, our mind, you know, at least from the scientists, describe a lot of things about the sun. You know, describe how it's built. I mean, right?
Right.
Our mind can perceive things that our eyes don't have the ability to go to.
Right. That actually is exactly what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying over here. That's the comparison to fire. The same. That's the same point that he's making with the fire. What the Chazal is making with the fire, the Eish Oichlehu, right? Is you can now understand a lot about fire. You can study fire. You could know fire, and that's why we have a yearning to understand the world and scientifically, right? Because we can get there. We can do it. It's within the human capacity. But you won't be able to stick your finger in the fire just because you know the qualities of the fire. So the same thing, you won't be able to see, receive the light of the sun from up close, right? You just won't be able to survive that. So that's Eish Eichla. The sun will destroy a person that tries to get too close to it, right? Or to look at it where it's too close. But you can understand it. So that's the way we can understand Hashem. We can understand certain things that Hashem allows us to understand about the way He works, right? About the way He relates to us. And you know, that we can understand, but not in a way where we can literally touch Him. So that it remains somewhat of an intellectual endeavor that's even external to a certain extent, because if you're not really there, if you're not like, so you haven't really, you know, there's something past you. You know, so I would say kind of like the experience of being the sun you can never have. You know, you can, the experience, which is the fullness of something, that you can't get. And the same thing, that experience of Hashem's godliness, that, forget about it, we can't really get, we can't get. Al pi Kabbalah, there's going to be something more going on. So we'll wait with that. That's Hashem. Okay. Shkayach. Hagadvach. Hagadvach to everyone.